I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Left-footed punt by New York. Backpedaling and looking into the lines of the 27-yard line. Austin's got it, runs from the near side of the field to the far. Breaking the tackle, 30. Far sideline, 40. Far sideline, 50. Flag is down. He's on the 40. Got a block, 30. Far sideline, 20. 10. Chase to the 5. Touchdown on a punt return for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Klingon read that one beautifully. Out it comes to Scoot. Up the floor. Into the lane. Behind the back. Off to Walker. Hot potato. Score. Scored at the buzzer! Scoot Henderson on the push!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One out, the 1-2. Swing and a ball driven right field, way back, and forget it! It's gone! Freddie Freeman has homered for the third straight game in this World Series, and now five consecutive World Series games.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
Oh! 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
You already lost your beard over there. What is happening?
You need a new prop guy.
He can't hear. He can't hear you right now. He doesn't have his headphones on.
I know.
I got a homeless man in here doing the show with me today. Maybe I shouldn't judge for being homeless, though. You know, maybe he's got powers over there that I don't know about.
Thou shall forgive you.
Get in, say hi, nice early morning chat, go to the bathroom, I come back, and this is what I walk into. All right.
Yeah.
Praise be to Jesus. I got some coffee over here. Can you turn it into wine and make the show more enjoyable if you got that?
How do people talk with beards?
I think it's a little bit easier when it's not slowly falling down off your face.
Is that what it looks like it's doing?
Yeah, but I do appreciate the constant move of the hair out of the way of the eyes.
That's in the way a little bit.
I hope somebody watching on YouTube can turn that into a GIF. You look like a guy.
What? Hey, be careful.
Careful.
Dad's listening.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You going Nostradamus today?
I love you, Jesus.
Well, you thought it was Grateful Dead. It's actually supposed to be Sports Jesus.
So I got a question for you, Jesus.
Yeah.
How do you have such a big advertising budget?
Because
your ads are all over television, everywhere.
Well, we have to love who we hate.
You do love who you hate.
You know, you love thy neighbor.
You gotta love thy neighbor.
You know, the secret really is, when your dad creates everything,
yeah,
you tend to just have a budget.
Okay?
That's how this works.
You trust fund baby? Is that what you're telling me right now? You got
that.
A bit of a trust fund vibe going on right now.
Trust fund baby.
I think it is.
Dad didn't give me a house. I was always moving.
I don't think you earned anything. I think you were given everything.
I don't know.
I'm questioning a lot of things right
Must
now,
have
man.
Been some comfortable sandals.
You know, I tell you right now, if I was on Twitter back in the day, I'd have the biggest following on social media.
I think you definitely would.
I absolutely would.
You definitely would. Then you could tell us who actually is on Team Jesus and who you want on Team Jesus. Who's right and who's wrong? We need you now, Jesus.
And what was a fun idea this morning at 4:15 a.m. has turned into a disaster. I'm going to have to ditch this.
How long is this beard going to last? Are we going to get through one segment? Are we going to get all the way?
Maybe. It's
now, how does it look if you just go down below the chin?
I don't know, tell me.
If it just kind of hangs down there, because it'd be easier to talk. That's not bad. You look more like a sheepdog now. But
yeah, now I feel like I look like a more ridiculous version of whatever you think I look like. Yeah,
communicating's a little bit easier, though, you know?
Also, the headphones don't really come in very well through the hair. It's Halloween week. What do you want from me? I'm trying to have fun.
Every year, I always forget how into Halloween the Sprags are.
And we're really into it.
Every year, I'm blown away. My wife got home from work last night at 7 o'clock-ish. Long day. It's like, you know, I start getting ready for bed at 8. So we got like an hour and 10 minutes of like, you know, this is our hangout time. Let's be together. And, you know, I haven't seen you all day, that kind of thing. She spent 45 minutes slowly preparing the Halloween treat situation. Candy, bowls, because we're not going to be at our house on Thursday.
45 minutes.
It took way too long.
To do put candy in a bowl?
I mean, she's got, it is so convoluted of, we got like a basket with three different things for babies. And I'm like, how many babies do you think are in our neighborhood? Do you think there's a lot of them? She's putting like little animal fruit snacks. And like, we have like 30,000 things now in front of our house. So if you come trick-or-treat at our house, I will not be there to hand you candy.
Sure.
But we got you covered. It took a long time last night.
So last year we put in a Ring cam, and we ended up leaving our house too. We're home. We take trick-or-treaters. I bought full-size candy bars for my neighborhood.
Look at you.
I'm a great individual with Halloween. Went to Costco, got a couple boxes.
Look at you.
And last year we didn't do this. We had the mini fun size, right?
Yeah, you go tiny bars.
So we put them in a big bowl, and we just wrote one sign that says, please take one. Please take one.
Yeah.
We came back. They were gone. Well, when we looked on our Ring cam, it was two teenagers. They dumped the bowl in their bags.
The entire thing.
Does your wife realize that that's what's going to happen here? Doesn't matter if it's this baby or child or teenager. Yeah. It's going to get all taken.
I think in about 5 minutes, all of the candy is going to be gone.
Right.
And the only thing left are like the baby chewing sticks. And that's about it.
I don't get it.
And I don't know how many babies are going to come trick-or-treating, because I don't think babies usually go trick-or-treating. So
why is she wasting 45 minutes on this?
This is a great question. This is what I was wondering last night when I was sitting on the couch watching the end of a boring baseball game. Like, hey, you going to come hang out with me? Or are we just going to be over there all night getting this stuff ready?
It, you know, in a way, I do this sometimes too, and I wonder, it's a therapy Tuesday, so I'm like kind of wondering, is there a psychological aspect to this?
Yeah.
Do you ever do something that you know really isn't important, but you're doing it, and maybe in the deep recesses of your mind, you're doing it to avoid talking and socializing with the people in your house?
Just want to get out of all of this.
I mean, in a way, yeah. You kind of like, does your wife need to spend 45 minutes on
that? I
don't
think so. She was a little obsessive about it last night. It was a bit of an issue.
Is she OCD, or does she not want to talk to Andy for
probably
about an hour?
A combination of both. I mean, I wouldn't want to talk to me either. So let's be fair. If I get home, I don't want anything to do with me. But she is a little OCD. It was a little over the top last night.
I'm regretting my costume choice. I should have come in with a different one. I have so many masks and stuff, so much easier things.
Well, the mask
you
makes
like
communicating
you're trying to be young Howard Stern at this point.
I kind of feel, when I look in the reflection, that's kind of what it looks like. My hair is just not as curly, but it does have kind of that vibe, yeah.
I wish you had this long of hair.
Yeah, I wish I had this long of beard and hair.
Permanently this long of hair would be a great look on you.
Would it be a good look?
I think it'd be a good look.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think you could rock
with
this.
With the shades?
I'm
yeah,
a little disappointed.
Shades, yeah.
I really wanted to pull this off for the whole show. Now I'm like, I think I got to take this beard off. It's too itchy.
You
got to
keep the
talk.
Hair on. Keep the hair on, though, the entire
keep the
show.
Hair on?
I think you can keep the hair on. You can pull that off the rest of the show.
See, now do I take the cross off? It kind of feels like it doesn't make any sense now.
Now it's going to stand out like a sore thumb. Like, oh, this guy. All right, big Jesus fan in here. All right, good morning. What's happening?
Oh, you know.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Team Jesus.
I wanted to ask you guys a quick question. So I got made fun of like last year for something I bought. And I won't name who made fun of me, but I had somebody make fun of me in my family. And yesterday I had to make a run to the old Costco. And I found myself diverting because my local Costco, you walk in, you turn a corner, the clothes are kind of right there. And I found myself diving into the clothes section, weaving in and out of the rows, seeing what Costco had.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, is it a bad sign that I've reached a point in my life where I don't normally shop for clothes? And so now my shopping for clothes has turned into only when I go to Costco.
There is nothing wrong with that.
Are you sure?
Nothing wrong with that.
Because I have been made fun of quite literally in my family circle
right.
For being Costco clothes shopper.
The people who make fun of you in your family circle,
yeah.
How would you explain their style and fashion?
Very up-to-date, in with the trends.
A lot of Supreme hats, is that what you're telling me?
Not Supreme hats, yeah. But good, I won't name the company they buy from, but largely like the newest, best stuff from the companies.
So they're constantly flushing their money down the toilet on things that aren't important. Instead of getting something that's cheap and affordable and incredibly comfortable.
And durable.
And durable. They last forever.
They do.
Do I shop at Costco? Look at me. Do you think? Of course I shop for clothes at Costco, dude.
I think
I just
depends.
Got a flannel the last time I was there. It was like $13.99.
Oh,
it was
such a good deal.
It's a great deal.
It depends on the purpose of the clothing. Like, if you're just stuff around the house or whatever, or work stuff or workout, who cares?
Have you bought Costco clothes? You're 52.
Yeah.
Okay. I bought a jacket from Costco. I still rock it. It's like 5 years old.
How much did it cost?
It was like $30.
That's a great deal.
And it was a winter jacket.
For a winter jacket for $30?
That's
You're not beating that deal.
You can't.
It's the only thing at Costco sans like the books also. Like you could buy an individual book if you want. And we always peruse the book section when we're at Costco. It's the only, it's one of the few things you don't have to buy in bulk. I don't have to buy 17 flannels in order to get the deal.
Yeah.
I get one flannel. It's a great deal. I get a great pair of sweatpants. They got nice, like, kind of khaki pants.
They do.
T-shirts. They got everything at Costco.
I will say I used to peruse the books. I don't anymore because now I just find it be political talk show hosts, punditry book. Like, Bill O'Reilly, America was better in 1814.
Or I'm running for president. This is my book. Yeah. Now they're all up there.
I'm running for Senate again.
Yeah, the buy rate on the books is very low, but we always check. You always scroll down that aisle just to see what's going on over here.
I will also acknowledge, even though I'm dressed up as a ridiculous version of either Howard Stern, Jesus, or a Grateful Dead member with glasses today.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show on YouTube today.
They got me in the spirit. I went down the row with all the Christmas stuff, and I went,
You're damn right you did.
Kind of making me happy already.
You're damn right you did. You know what I did last week when it was like one of the first days where it was just pouring down rain, kind of miserable outside?
What?
You bet your ass I turned some Christmas music on.
Did you really?
Yes, absolutely I did.
Wow.
You know what it did? Turned this frown upside down immediately.
It did.
A little Bing Crosby in my life, feeling good. It's a little chilly outside.
Oh, God.
Got an extra coat on.
Making me feel good right now.
Oh, man, I'm ready. Go get the tree this weekend.
There's a neighborhood, so when I walk out of my neighborhood on my urban hike, I take my trail, and it goes into another neighborhood. And when I go down this trail, it's usually when I take my dog for a walk, I had two houses, really nice houses, and there was two sets of people on their roofs. And I look up, and I'm like, oh, they're getting new roofs. But then I'm like, wait, these houses were built 2 years ago. No way. They were people installing Christmas lights.
Already.
The weather was perfect.
Yeah, might as well get it done now.
So if you're a company that does, like, Christmas light installation to make the lights perfect on your house, because, you know, you and I can't figure this out. I can't think of a better time, and I looked up, and I went, this is a kind of hot take, but I like it, and I don't blame them.
I always do that at some point in November. Like, when if you get a nice day or a nice weekend, middle of the way through November...
I'll go out there, too.
You got to jump on the opportunity to do it.
I agree.
You got to jump on the chance.
Much like a great flannel deal at Costco, you have to jump on your opportunities.
Somebody said, on the weekends, my wife just disappears for hours randomly, cleaning spots in the house so she can have some quiet time. Maybe that's what the wife wanted yesterday. Maybe that's why she spent an hour doing a little basket of all these different treats. Maybe she just wanted a little quiet time when she got home.
In those moments where I'm doing something that's not like really that important, like I cleaned my grill. I moved my grill from my deck to my garage so I could use it in the winter. And so I'm cleaning this and I'm like, I don't really need to be cleaning this, but I did it for 40 minutes.
It kind of feels good. Once you start, you want to make sure you get your deep clean in.
Well, that's
you're not going a half-ass clean. Once you start digging that thing up, you're not stopping halfway through.
You're right on that. But I'm also like, you know, maybe this is just my excuse to take an hour away from my family.
I do see
them every day.
Yeah, a little breather every now and then.
You know, we live with each other. It's, you know, sometimes it's like, I need a little space in my space.
Yeah, I don't have as much time to do yard work anymore, so there's times when my yard looks like Jumanji. But when I do get the chance to have the opportunity to go out and do yard work, we're getting down on hands and knees. We're plucking everything. Every little detail is getting cut and trimmed, partly because I know I'm not going to be able to do it for a while, but partly because it's just... feels good.
Well, there's nothing that I relate to more, I think, in the social media algorithm of life than Instagram constantly reminding me that guys our age or older tend to go to the bathroom a little longer than they probably need to. And I like sit there and I go, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I do it.
I probably sit in there an extra 4 to 5 minutes every time.
Every time.
It's like, this is me time in a little room with the door closed.
Am I going to discover something on YouTube that I want to watch?
That fan is on. You can't hear what I'm doing.
That little hum, that low hum the entire
time. I love that little hum.
We got back-to-back thoughts. Jesus Sprague, when did you turn 65? Are you wearing black socks with slippers now, too, and shorts?
See what I'm saying?
Dude, don't hate on
this
Costco
is what
shopping.
I got.
Somebody said Isaac and Suka are going to kill you guys for buying clothes at Costco. Oh, bring it on. Bring it on. I have no shame at all in wearing Costco clothes. And Lauren says, I'm also a Costco clothes shopper
now.
Thank you. And TJ's, but let's be real. Were the guys in the Progressive commercial becoming our parents? I don't disagree with that at all. That's fine.
That's okay.
I'm 35. I'm giving up anyways.
My dad is a Tommy Bahamas guy.
He's got good style.
Yeah.
I have quite a bit of Tommy Bahamas.
Well, he's your age.
Yeah. So.
What up, Dad?
Hi, Jesus.
Tip of the cap. I forgive you. It's okay.
Call it's okay. Peace be with you.
You call me sports god now?
Yeah, I think a little bit. Although, I don't know. The Utah Hockey Club pick last night.
What?
People are already texting in about the Utah Hockey Club
pick. We got railroaded last night. We got railroaded on that last night. Our sports equinox.
I mean, I didn't.
Equinox.
I also had the Yankees in there, so I only have myself to blame for that. But sure. Utah Hockey Club, what are we doing?
I congratulated Swag at the top of the ninth.
You did.
I said, congratulations on that parlay. I would have won too if I'd taken the Dodgers. And I went to bed thinking he hit. And he woke up and told me, you know what stinking it up today is? And I go, what? He goes, Utah Hockey Club. I go, why? He goes, they lost in overtime. Yeah. No way.
The Sharks are terrible. How do you do that?
4-1.
That was their first win of the season.
First one of the year.
Former Kraken Alex Wenberg.
Oh,
sticking it
Wait
to
a
everybody.
Minute.
Hold on.
Oh, I just got a text from my dad, Sports Jesus here. I just got a text. He says,
well, God save.
Tell Jason, I saw what he did when he was 17 in that frat house. That's why they lost. Hey, you got to learn.
We saw what you did with that trombone back in the day.
Visiting Puget Sound, you dirty, dirty little boy.
We know what you were up to.
Well, we got a loaded show today. It's a Therapy Tuesday.
Dude loves me when I come.
Yeah, well. Yeah. We don't forget.
Band trip to Victoria.
We're watching you at all times.
All times. All times.
Dirt and Sprager in today. Sports Jesus here. It's a Therapy Tuesday, a Mail Sack Tuesday, a loaded show. Let's get it going. A dud of a World Series we got on our hands. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprager on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's ESPN Radio on the call there. Freddie Freeman has locked up the World Series MVP. It shouldn't even be available to bet on, to be honest with you.
No, it is over.
The series is
over.
Yeah. You know, I feel bad for the dude. I felt bad for somebody yesterday, and it isn't a Yankee fan. It's not Aaron Judge. I actually felt bad for Jeff Passan in about the sixth to seventh inning. He wrote a great, like, exciting piece for this series. Otani and Judge.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's largely been neither. One is hurt and just like trying to strike out so he can sit down because he's hurt. And the other one just can't put the bat on the ball.
No.
And it's a dud of a series. Boy.
I don't know if there's been a... Look, game one was incredible. It got off to a brilliant start.
It was
on
good.
On Friday night. You had a walk-off grand slam for the first time in World Series history. You had changing leads. You had Stanton hit a bomb. Dodgers tied up late. Extra innings. Couldn't ask for anything more out of game one. Game two was...
Game two got dicey. They brought the winning run to the plate in the ninth.
In the ninth inning.
Did you really buy it, though?
For eight innings, there was hardly anything going on in that. Dodgers took an early lead.
Look, you bought it because you're a fan and we've been there before.
And you're also going to complain down to the very last pitch of this series. Even last night, Swag on text, dicey with that Dodger bullpen.
It's never easy.
Said it's never easy.
What happened the last time they had a bullpen game? Did they pitch a shutout? Back-to-back times, I think.
Well, we'll see. I'm curious.
They're
to
up 3-0. The series
well, that's
is
what I'm
over.
Curious, because they threw in the last
He's going to complain
innings.
All the way down
no,
to the
I'm
last
not
out.
Complaining. I'm just,
He's stressed, man. You know what?
Got to see this. Got 27 more outs to get.
Like, you know I'm what's coming
be,
out.
Like, counting. I do have a purchase to make, though. On the way home, I will be getting another bottle. This is exactly what I did in 2020 when they had a chance to clinch it. Bought the bottle. Argyle Brute. It will be there. I will have bookends if this comes through. I am very curious to see how Doc Roberts decides to go with his bullpen game because he's got like three guys down there that aren't his high leverage guys that are inning eaters. Like if they were getting blown out in a game, he's like, all right, I'm sending these guys in. Does he use them and save all his arms and see if the bats still stay hot for him and he can win a 10-8 game? Or will he use a lot of the guys that you saw yesterday and try to really end this in a sweep? I'm very curious to see how this works.
Well, I kind of wonder a lot of things, and one of them is the Yankees just feel like they're kind of fundamentally broken and know that they're not the better team.
Can we just put up a fight? Can we muster anything before the ninth inning last night?
Well, the other part of this is he is sounding this way, and he will never acknowledge this. I don't think he likes us saying this on the air. He will not acknowledge, but the reason he sounds this way, Dirt, is because he knows he is going to celebrate this one more than he did in 20 because knows this is a legitimate World Series,
without a doubt.
Finally.
This one feels different.
20
felt
like a cheap, gimmicky, like, yeah. Oh, we did it. But like this one?
Yeah, everybody's playing in Texas. It's not even a Dodger Stadium.
You're beating the Yankees. Yeah. You're potentially sweeping them. Everybody
came back against the Padres.
Yeah.
That's when I thought they were cooked.
Yeah. They were down, and they came back and won that series.
They weren't hot going in. The Padres got hot at the end of the season. The starting pitching staff has been in shambles due to injuries. All the dudes on the shelf and a couple of guys you still weren't sure. Walker Buehler was still searching for it, and it was the start in the Mets. Then when they got rolling against the Mets, you're like, okay, they were able to find a way to get through it.
But I mean, Mets put up a fight against this team. They at least got it to six. Yeah. At least they showed some little bit of a back spine.
I just want you to admit it. Is all I want you to do is say, you know what, I hate you, but you're right. I didn't care in 20.
This will feel sweeter for a lot of reasons
because it's real. You played 60 games in 2020.
You constantly say that's all you need to play Major League Baseball. We don't need 162.
You're not wrong.
That is a good counter-argument right there.
You don't counter sports Jesus here. I'm right on everything
today.
That's
blasphemous. How dare you?
I'm telling my dad.
You're going to hell, man.
However.
I'm going to send you to your room.
Until the season is 60 games, that's not a legitimate World Series.
Yeah, this one, it's unfortunate because last night's game, I know what Verdugo ended up hitting the bomb in the ninth inning and they finally got on the board. That was an incredibly boring baseball game.
This series has been
awesome. I mean, yeah, I was sitting around. I watched every inning of that game. I watched every out of that game. I hardly watched any of the football game. I flipped back and forth, had it on a smaller
screen
occasionally.
The football game was better than the baseball
game. It was, and I was shocked by that. And I kept saying, how long am I gonna wait around? And I'm like, well, it's in the seventh inning. I might as well. And then they had the heart of their order coming up in the eighth. And I'm like, all right, I'll give it. Let's see if Soto and Judge and Stanton can do anything. And no, there was nothing. The only time they threatened, they had looked like the slowest human being alive trying to score from second on a single, which was an all-time aggressive send. I think Jordan Schultz might be faster than Giancarlo Stanton. Wow. That was my takeaway from last night. That guy was the slowest human. Go back and watch that thing in live action. It looks like he's in slow motion. The guy cannot move.
Sid Bream was faster than Giancarlo.
That was the only chance they had last night until the meaningless home run in the ninth inning. Like, just do. Can I get the bases loaded a couple of times? Can I get some traffic in and out of any? Like, oh, here they go. They might score a run here. Oh, no, they didn't. At least that keeps me engaged in the game. They had a total of five hits, man.
Would you have sent him?
No. Knowing how slow he is?
There's a still image of him being maybe three steps from third.
The guy's already got the ball.
And Kike had just, like, the ball was bouncing into his glove, and he hadn't even gotten a third yet, and they sent him. And it was a bang-bang play, to be fair.
I think they did it because they were so desperate. Like, what was the chances they were going to get another hit? They haven't been able to get a big hit the entire series.
It's not Aaron Boone's fault that Soto's been awful. It's not Aaron Boone's fault that Judge has sucked the entire postseason. I will say, I feel like Aaron Boone, though, did cost them a being in this series with how he managed game one.
Yeah, he screwed up game one. And if they win game one, there's a different vibe. They're feeling good going into game two. Maybe the bats wake up a little bit. Now the pressure mounts. You lose game one, builds on Judge. He can't get a hit. Now you're coming home. You got to do it now. It's just all the weight of the world is on their
beating
shoulders.
Garrett Cole when he was on was...
It was huge. It was everything.
And taking him, having an early hook for him was a mistake.
I also think the tempo was set, or the vibe of the game was kind of set. Walker Buehler was awesome. The Yankees have struck out like 29 times in three games. The Fat Joe thing. Ozempic Fat Joe.
Exactly.
The sound was off. no Yankee fan seems to know those songs, or like they don't care. I couldn't tell.
I don't know. It was not Ice Cube. Ice Cube in game two, yeah. I was like, oh, there's no way they're losing this.
It's at the
tone. Not after that.
It set the tone.
Is this just started this year? Have we done this in years past?
No.
I don't ever remember this being a thing where we have, like, the players are in the dugout waiting to take the field for a World Series game, and we got to wait for Fat Joe to wrap up his concert.
Yeah, but they liked it. They were rapping
to the Ice Cube, and they enjoyed it.
I think it's easier for the starting pitchers were out in the bullpen. They were getting loose. I think the starting pitchers hated having to come in for, like, lineups or whatever and then sit there and wait.
That makes sense.
So they just leave them out there, let them do their thing. No, if you get it right, like if you can get it right like Ice Cube, it was awesome.
Who lost the game last night for the Yankees in game three? Fat Joe, Aaron Judge, or Aaron Boone?
I'm going to go Fat Joe last night. I think Aaron Boone overall, well, no, Aaron Judge overall deserves the credit. Like, get a hit, dude. Do something. It's the World Series.
So
like, have a pulse. Can we get a hit? It's amazing how desperate we are for this series to be interesting. Did you hear the Yankee call of his routine fly ball to left field?
The one late?
Ooh, wait.
No, he had one in like the third inning.
I think, yeah, the one off the end of the bat. I think I can find it.
Oh, I thought that was a later
It was pretty, I think it was his second at bat of the game. He struck out in his first at bat. I think it was a second at bat. It was legitimately a routine fly ball.
And they were like, oh.
What's the Yankee radio guy's name has done it for years?
Who, John Sterling?
Yeah. There's a deep draw and it's caught. Even the Fox camera was like, yes, he finally, no, he didn't do anything. Sorry. Another 0 for 3 with a strikeout. Well done, Judgey. Well done.
You know what they're debating in New York today?
Glad we didn't sign Arson Judge. That's what I'm happy about. Guy's a bum.
They're debating if Major League Baseball would rather have this with the Dodgers-Yankees or a thrilling Game 7 series between the Guardians and the... No, not the Mets.
Mets are too big.
Padres.
They said Brewers.
Yeah, the Padres or the Guardians with a 7-game series or the Yankees Dodgers.
Give me 7-game. Give me interesting. Dude, you can give me markets. All the anticipation was there going in.
Yeah.
It's over. This is a disaster for baseball.
I found the radio call. This is the WFAN.
And the breaking ball, there it goes, deep left center field, and Teoscar is there to make the catch. Oh, did I get fooled on that?
At least he acknowledged it live on the broadcast. Like, right, you imagine driving around listening to that in your car, and that's the start of the call.
Well,
it
was the sound that got me first.
And the camera angle. The camera angle went with it,
too. Because then on the replay, you saw he hit it right off the end of the bat.
Teoscar Hernandez didn't even move. It was like 50 feet away from being a home run. Wasn't even close. It's one thing to be a warning track guy. Yeah. Like, just short.
But you would think being there in the stadium, you could, I don't know how many flights up the press box is at Yankee Stadium.
He's a little old, too.
He's had some
Well, he's retiring.
Yeah. He's done that a few times this year with near home runs.
I forgive him.
Peace be with you.
Well, you're one game away. We'll celebrate it tomorrow when you guys win this game tonight because the Yankees suck.
I'm curious to see what Dave Roberts decides to do.
I mean, even if they lose tonight, Yankees are not winning four straight games to win the series.
If this comes back to LA.
Yes.
I should have been Jesus tomorrow, Sports Jesus, so you could ask for forgiveness for abandoning your team that's going to sweep the World Series. I would forgive you for it, but
I just look, once this thing's over, I'm calling the Department of Justice to investigate that illegal Ohtani contract. This is an antitrust class action lawsuit.
Dude, I think his shoulder's pretty messed up.
Guy's holding his arm.
He can't even swing fully. He's got to like let go of the bat.
Yep.
Poor dude. Good job for my boy Freddie Freeman.
Still
MVP.
More effective than Aaron Judge with one arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still drew a walk and got hit.
That he did.
Scored.
Scored a run in the game. Yeah.
It is Tuesday. It is 6:30. It's time for NFL Factoid Tuesday. I've got a laundry list of factoids. Let's get to that next on The Fan. I'm up here with my dad. I do miss my mom, though. Sports Jesus in today. We are aware YouTube has an audio issue.
Let us know if it's working.
No, it should be on.
Okay. Somebody said it came on right for the update. That's when it came on again.
Now, each different...
Yeah.
I'm just relaying what we're told.
It'd be funny if he muted it and then unmutes it for his updates.
All right. Time for the real content. I'll tell you what's going on in the sports world.
No, it's because there's a different thing, so the audio is encoded.
The thing.
Yeah.
Let us know. Let us know in the comments if we're up,
so
audio-wise.
If somebody alters the settings, the last people on, then it's all jacked
up. All right, we're a little... what was yesterday? Monday, right? So we had the Duck Roundtable show.
We did last night.
By the way,
we roundtabled.
I love me some Ryan Buckley. I'm a big Ryan Buckley fan.
Yeah.
I don't know how Ryan Buckley does the Ducks Roundtable show on our YouTube page sitting with the chair on the floor. It is the lowest chair I've ever seen in my life. So he either has a lot of butt padding.
He's a pretty big guy. Buckley's pretty tall, isn't he?
Dirt, I'm telling you, this chair is...
All the way down?
How are you in the camera view?
Yeah, your head's just popping up.
It's crazy. So maybe it got messed up. Hopefully we're good. We're live on YouTube with the audio.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. It's Tuesday. It's 6:30. It's a little past 6:30, so let's get it going because I don't want to get yelled at by Swag. NFL Factoid Tuesday.
Let's do it.
Let's get it going in New York where the Jets fell to the Patriots. How bad was that loss to the lowly Pats? According to Rich Cimini, who's been covering the Jets for a very long time, he says the Jets had zero turnovers and held the Pats to 247 yards. They're the first team to lose a game in which they did not turn the ball over and held their opponent to under 250 yards since week 3 of 2012. That game, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers losing on the Fail Mary. 220-0 those teams were, by the way.
I mean, just an embarrassingly bad franchise. Their owner fired their head coach, thought they could scapegoat him as the problem. They're 0-3 since they did that. They won't cut Greg Zuerlein, who can't make kicks. He missed an extra point and a field goal in that game.
Explain that to me.
Jeff Ulbrich comes out after the game, says his process is fine. Like, who cares about the process if you're not getting results? You're 2-6. Your season's over. What an embarrassing stat.
300-yard games for the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson, 0 times out of 19 starts. Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston, 6 of their last 7 starts.
They looked exactly like the offense last year that found a way to make the playoffs. Ironically, once Deshaun Watson went down, their offense was unlocked, and Joe Flacco led them to that point.
Stefanski, in a media sesh yesterday, had to acknowledge that maybe he was wrong on the quarterback stuff.
Yeah. You think maybe that was the case.
How about a 52-14 win for the Lions? USA Today noted that they had 225 yards of offense. They converted only 3 third downs. They had 300 return yards on special teams, and according to Lions PR, it was their first time scoring 50 in a game since November 27th of 1997.
Holy hell, that was a long time ago. That is one of the weirder final score, considering the box score games,
ever
in NFL history.
Ever.
If you just looked at it, you would think Goff threw for 472 yards and 5 touchdowns, and they ran for 250 yards. Like, if you see a score 52-14, that's where your mind goes, and it just wasn't the case.
This one from Mark Dalton of Cardinals Media Relations. The Dolphins led the game on Sunday against Arizona for 49 minutes and 45 seconds. The Cardinals led for 0 minutes and 0 seconds, and they won 28-27. Murray, who finished with over 300 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and a nice game.
Tyler Drake of Arizona Sports also points out the Cardinals are one of 9 teams to have at least 1,000 yards rushing.
Interesting.
So,
are they good?
Both of those stats, one suggests they're good. The other one says, did you get lucky and just win?
I mean, their next month, they get the Bears at home, who have all sorts of offensive line issues. They get the Jets at home, who, you know. And then they go to Seattle and to Minnesota. That's their next month.
I don't know how to feel about the Cardinals.
I have no clue how to feel about them.
The Chiefs beat the Raiders in Vegas, and it looked like a home game for Kansas City if you watched it.
Yeah.
According to Rich Eisen, they're the first Super Bowl champion to be the last unbeaten to start the next season since the 2011 Green Bay Packers. Can you guess the last team to do this and win the Super Bowl next year?
To be the last undefeated team and win the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Was it Elway's Broncos?
Nope. More recent than that.
Was it Peyton's Broncos? I feel like they had a couple of years there. Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, Peyton's Colts.
Peyton's Colts. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I felt like he had a couple of years in Denver, too, where they'd get off to like an 8-0 or 9-0 start. But maybe that one of those years was the year they like got blown out by the Seahawks.
Top five worst completion percentage with a minimum of 100 attempts since 2006. Okay. This is from Steve Palazzolo. Yeah. This is from 5-1. Number five, John Skelton in 2010, 47.6%.
Who can forget?
Number four, Tim Tebow, 2011, 46.5%.
Got a playoff win.
Number three, Derek Anderson, 2009, 44.5%. Number two, Anthony Richardson this year, 44.4%. And number one, Josh Freeman, 2013, 42.9%. The Colts lost by three with that quarterback.
I mean, he had to come out after the game and acknowledge that he had to take himself out because he was running around too much. And his teammates and some of his offensive linemen in the press today or yesterday had to say, like, that's not, oh, you can't.
Did you see Baldy?
That. No, what did Baldy say about that?
He basically took a huge exception with this. He posted the video of Anthony scrambling, tapping his helmet, and Baldy's like, in my entire life with the NFL, I've never once seen a quarterback do this.
I don't think I have either. There's not one that I can think of.
Everybody is pissed off by this.
He was 10 of 32, man. It's just horrible. The tough part is, I think they're going to lean my thinking here.
They are. Although, they announced he's QB1, but they said, like, they need to evaluate the position.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong that he undoubtedly, Flacco undoubtedly gives them a better chance to win. You know how many starts Anthony Richardson has in his NFL career now?
Yeah, but what evidence do we have that this is going to get better?
I'm just saying, they used a fourth overall pick for him. That was only his 10th start in his NFL career Sunday.
The thing I'll at least give the Niners credit on, the Niners knew Trey Lance sucked like the minute they got him and was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And look, they had
Purdy
to pivot to.
But they gave him the starting role, and then he got hurt. He was the starting quarterback going into the year.
And he never recovered again after the injury because Brock Purdy came in and they figured, if the GM's going to get fired for it, so what? If the GM goes to the playoffs with Flacco, doesn't Ursay tend to go, you know what? It was a bad decision. We didn't evaluate him properly. We fell in love with the combine stuff.
Yeah.
But we pivoted, and we will recover. I feel like that's available to them, but they're just refusing to start anybody.
I think the tough part there is the Niner example. Like, at first, when Trey Lance, who started the year, he got hurt, and then Jimmy Garoppolo was the backup, and then they stumbled their way into Brock Purdy. That wasn't the plan, obviously, initially, and then he took the job and he ran with it. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just think the tough part for them is long term. Like, okay, Flacco leads you to the playoffs. You can argue that's good for culture and all of that. How old is Joe? Like, Joe Flacco's like 40 years old. So you don't, like, what's your long-term answer at that position? So you're giving up on Anthony Richardson. If you bench him, that means you're going to likely move on.
Yeah.
So what do you do in the offseason then?
You go find your Sam Darnold or your Geno Smith. Yeah. I think if your draft stock is not good enough to get a guy, and maybe
Bryce Young,
he
might be available.
No, it's certainly not what you do.
Number one overall pick.
I got more factoids. We ran a little long in the last segment. I'm going to carry factoids over. I also want to check a factoid I just gave you. That I wrote it down. I'm like, that's a cool factoid. And then I said it out loud to you, and you didn't push back, and Swag didn't push back. I'm kind of wondering, is this a right factoid? So I'll give you an update on that. More NFL factoids. Talk a little more NFL next on The Fan. So the factoid I gave you, Dirt, that I read out loud, I get these factoids. I find them all over the place until sometimes I forget where I originally saw it.
Yeah.
I don't believe the Colt Packer Chief one is accurate.
Okay.
I believe it might have been the Patriots in 18 who won and was the last unbeaten in 19, and they were also the last team to win it.
Got it.
Because the Colt one, I said that, and then I went, wait, Peyton only won one with the Colts.
He only won one.
So they wouldn't be a defending champion who was last unbeaten to go on to win the Super Bowl.
No.
So if Rich Eisen did say that, that indeed is inaccurate. This is Rich Eisen's fault.
Okay, let's all blame Rich Eisen for that.
Okay, let's jump back into NFL factoids.
What else you got for me?
Now, there's a slight... Can we get that music back?
Let's dance.
And is the audio good for YouTube? I just want to make sure...
Hey.
There we go.
Science.
Slight discrepancy here because of the 17-game edition. But according to the Jonathan Jones of CBS, there's only three teams that have made the playoffs, sitting at 2-6. The 1970 Bengals...
Long time ago.
The 2020 Commies and the 2022 Jags.
2022 Jags, I remember vividly. 2020 Commies, I'm assuming that was a division. Is that the year they hosted Brady in the playoff game? Yeah, and they were a below 500 division winner.
You're 2-6 teams right now. Dolphins, Pats, Jets.
Eliminated, eliminated, eliminated.
Browns.
Eliminated.
Jags.
Eliminated.
Raiders.
Eliminated.
Giants.
Eliminated.
Saints.
Nope.
That's it.
Okay. Not going to happen this year.
Okay.
Give me that take right now.
Rookie quarterback stats for the month of October. Passing touchdowns to interception ratio, passing yards and rushing touchdowns, and wins. All of those things have in common. Bo Chapman Nix is your leader.
Is that actually his middle name?
It is.
Nice. That's a good little middle name.
Tony Holzman Escareno, who is a senior NFL researcher, says Bo became the first Bronco ever to have three touchdowns, no picks, and a rushing touchdown ever in a game.
Wow.
I would have thought Elway achieved that.
Would have assumed it, right? There was another one floating around with him of, like, quarterbacks in their first however many starts with eight passing touchdowns and four rushing touchdowns, and the list was pretty limited. It was, like, Culpepper, you know, Otto Graham.
Culpepper.
It was like, just a couple of, you know, I think Lamar might have done it in his first eight games or whatever. Like, very, very limited list. So he's, dude, he's been fun, man. I think he's been a lot better than some people thought. Really excited to see how the next 2 weeks go for him. I'm not expecting much. I don't think they're going to win either game.
I would say three.
Even three,
Falcons,
yeah.
Falcons are on that list.
Yeah, you want to go Falcons as well? They could be a division winner this year. Like, how are they going to do this weekend in Baltimore? It's just such a different animal. And Sean Payton was even honest after the game when they asked him about the win over Carolina. He's like, Carolina sucks. like he said the quiet part out loud, which you're not supposed to do. I appreciate him for doing it. I'm fascinated to see how he plays in the next 2 weeks. Big opportunities for him.
With a minimum of 30 passing attempts. Okay, so bear that stat in mind.
30 attempts.
Who has the highest passer rating in the NFL?
Oh, buddy.
Is it Goff's?
Nope. Goff is
near the
third
top
on this list.
Highest passer rating in the NFL.
With a minimum of 30 attempts, correct.
Russ?
No, but Russ looked good last night.
He looked really good.
I'll give him that.
I feel like a couple of weeks ago I would have said Purdy, but then he had that horrible game against Kansas City.
You'd be Purdy wrong. Sports Jesus. Good
you know,
joke.
You know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to go homer pick because I think he's playing elite football right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you Justin Herbert.
Ooh, I like that guess.
Not
and
him.
You would be incorrect. It is Malik Willis.
That's so stupid. Sometimes stats don't matter. That's the time that stats don't matter.
According to Dante Kopelitz Fleming of NFL Research, Sunday was National Tight Ends Day. I don't know if you heard about that.
I did about 30,000 times during every broadcast.
There were 175 receptions by tight ends on Sunday, which is the most ever on a single day in NFL history.
I did see that stat. And the only reason it happened was because we made up a holiday for tight ends, which I'm all for. Tight ends are cool.
Well, but also Kyle Pitts looked good.
Yeah.
Kate Otten was the only target for Baker. And George Kittle played in a primetime game against Dallas, so he had a big game.
And you know that he was telling Kyle Shanahan the entire pregame warm-up, hey, it's National Tight End Day. Let's get me the football. How about
Trey
that?
McBride had a nice day for the
Cardinals.
Kelsey had a good day as well.
Did he get his first touchdown on Sunday?
I believe he did.
I think he did. Against
I believe
Vegas.
He did. We had a listener who was there. Said I was at the game when they got a late stand or whatever. The Raiders didn't convert or got an interception.
It's probably after the pick. Yeah.
Sounded like it was Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Sounded like it was Arrowhead.
Did you know that Jaden Daniels' 52-yard Hail Mary pass was the second longest game-winning touchdown pass ever by a rookie? The longest. Could you guess it?
No, I have no clue.
Tim Couch to Kevin Johnson on Halloween in 1999.
Definitely would have guessed that. Hail Mary, I'm assuming, had to have been.
I don't remember anything from Tim Couch's career other than him getting sacked.
Neither do I. Neither do I.
Kirk Cousins became the fourth player ever to have 750-plus passing yards and eight or more touchdowns against a single opponent in a season since 1950 after his game versus Tampa. How rare is this feat? Y.A. Tittle is one of the other four players on that list.
Not very often.
And if you say Y.A. Tittle, I think you're going way the hell back.
That was in like 1743, man.
You remember Y.A. Tittle?
big fan of Y.A.
According to Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports, she found this from Next Gen Stats. Caleb Williams was pressured 51.6% of his dropbacks and had 2.47 seconds to pressure.
Come on, Caleb.
It was the highest pressure percentage and quickest pressure of his career so far. He was 39 of 60 for 400, or he is 39 of 60 for 402 yards, three touchdowns, and a pick in the fourth quarter this season, according to Bears beat writer Eric Lambert.
Those are pretty good late game numbers, man.
He's a good fourth quarter.
Put together a drive when they needed to, but it's so hard to judge him because it's not necessarily his fault. When you're under siege on every snap, I don't know what you expect a guy to do, especially a rookie.
And my last and fun stat factoid of a Tuesday, Daniel Jones is 1-15 as a starter in primetime. Why don't we just hammer Daniel Jones on a primetime game every time?
I don't know. We definitely should have done that. It was a rough night for Ryan Cooley last night. Oh, diehard Giants fan. Giants. Diehard Yankees fan. Yeah.
Jets and Mets a week ago. This week was the Yankees and the Giants.
Rough stretch for old New York.
New York sports fans.
Very excited.
Did the
right
Knicks
now.
Play last night? I didn't see. If they lost, that would have just really took a crap on your New York sports
team. Take
night.
A gander at that. See if they lost.
I don't think
they
played. I don't think the Knicks
I don't
played.
Remember seeing the Knicks in. Oh, they did. They did lose. They lost at home to the Cavs, 110-104.
Now, wait a minute. Did the Rangers or Islanders play?
Okay, hold on.
Let me check.
Let me check Rangers and Islanders.
Because I believe.
Hold on. I got nothing so far. Nothing. No Rangers and no Islanders last night.
Okay. I want to verify if the Nets played. Because if New York went 0-4 and everything, what a terrible Equinox game.
Hell of a night for them. Brooklyn, I'm not seeing a Brooklyn game either.
There you go. NFL Factoid Tuesday. We do it every Tuesday at 6:30. Usually only goes one segment. We ran a little long. Sports Jesus. Father, forgive us. Okay. We have a loaded second hour of the program. We will hear from Dan Lanning. He had his press conference talking about the old Michigan. We'll do a little bit of a peekaboo coming up at the second hour of the show. I got some college football audio leftovers from the weekend that I want to get to. Quite confident coach clips that we got that I want to play for you. But we start the second hour. This guy is the leader in this. And how do you sort it out? It's an impossibility. Loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.